Okay, we are in A Call to Stand Apart, compilation of 2002, CSA is the code, chapter 1, beginnings. It says, Christ, the heavenly merchantman, seeking goodly pearls, saw and lost humanity the pearl of great price. In man, defiled and ruined by sin, he saw the possibilities of redemption. And then she quotes from, well, first from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and then Luke chapter 2 from 2 from verses 8 to 20. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me stop here for a second, because how many of us have gone through this? You're laying in bed trying to contemplate that which the Lord would have you do tomorrow or next week or whatever the case may be. He gives you a dream or, like usual, wakes you up at 4 a.m., right? And you go into prayer like usual, but there's something on your mind the second you wake up. Sometimes it's the answer, right? But what gets me here is how society or even the church itself or the believers, and I'm not talking about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, but I'm talking about down-earth kind of people like Joseph and Mary were, or the apostles, you know, the fishermen and whatnot, and how they understood that when he went to sleep and had a dream from an angel, he didn't have to think, well, was that from God, or was that, you know, just me, or was it? He knew, okay? So I think that is so neat. And I like it for the entire church family, you know. I mean, in the last days, your daughter shall prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Or is it the other way around? Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, something like that. Kind of paraphrasing, of course. Anyway, it goes on. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And that's, again, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I like using this verse here with Roman Catholics, because they declared that Mary was ever virgin. And says, okay, there's two reasons that's just dead wrong. Number one, this verse here. It says he knew her not till she had brought the firstborn son. So he did consummate that marriage after she gave birth to Jesus and she healed and whatnot. So later on, it says right here, he knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son. So they got to rip that Bible verse out. Plus, if he didn't consummate the marriage, then they were both living in sin from that day forward. You know, they weren't married. Anyway. They weren't properly married, let's just say. Let's just put it that way. Next, she quotes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And it says, and there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And by the way, this can't possibly be winter, because in the month of Chesvan, which is about 1.5 to 2 months before Christmas time, which is December 25th, the shepherds already brought their, you know, the sheep in front of the fields, because it's not safe for man or beast to be out those fields in winter. Anyway, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not going to find a lot of these kind of guys around this time in history, although the Gideon Band will, hopefully, we don't really know some of the stuff that's going to be going down if we get to be part of that number, and how the Lord's hand is going to move, or he's going to allow us to see things. But these shepherds had to have been really into the truth and studying it on a regular basis, and to actually be trusted by the Lord to hear and see this event, you know, to hear this message and to be given license to go forth and pay homage unto the Lord thy God, you know, his son too. Anyway, it says, and it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And, you know, there's something about Mary, too. I mean, she ponders these things, too. And then later on, when Jesus is lifted up by that one man, does anybody remember his name? He was a religious leader, a Pharisee, if you will, a priest of some sort in the church, was praying, as did a woman, an older woman, a prophet, prophetess, if you will, that when Jesus was brought in, you know, for the eighth day, you know, for the dedication to the Lord thing, he noticed who he was looking at there. He noticed that this was the Son of God. It's amazing how people just knew these things back then. Today, it's like pulling teeth to get people that understand the way they should understand, or even understand the way we understand. But she goes on here, and now here she starts commenting on all this, what was just read, and it says, the Savior's coming was foretold in Eden. When Adam and Eve first heard the promise, they looked for its speedy fulfillment. They joyfully welcomed their firstborn son, hoping that he might be the deliverer. Boy, did that turn out bad, huh? The firstborn son was a murderer. Sad. But the fulfillment of the promise tarried. Those who first received it died without the sight. From the days of Enoch, the promise was repeated through patriarchs and prophets, keeping alive the hope of his appearing, and yet he came not. And look at the patience of God's people. And I'm not talking about the false ones that die in the desert and all this other stuff. There's people that have carried on this truth throughout the centuries for 4,000 years. And now we have been watching it echo for 2,000 years. And that's after he comes. They're waiting on him for 4,000 years to come. And still didn't give up hope. There were still people that didn't give up hope. She says, the prophecy of Daniel revealed the time of his advent, but not all rightly interpreted the message. Century after century passed away. The voices of the prophets ceased. The hand of the oppressor was heavy upon Israel. And many were ready to exclaim, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth. Ezekiel 12:22. And that could be echoed for today's world, too, because there's just, unless, of course, you want to count the false prophets out there that are getting all sorts of crazy dreams. But she says, but like the stars in the vast circuit of their appointed path, God's purposes know no haste and know no delay. Yeah, and no delay. Through the symbols of the great darkness and the smoking furnace, God had revealed to Abraham the bondage of Israel in Egypt, and declared that the time of their sojourning should be for 400 years. Afterward, he said, shall they come out with great substance, Genesis 15:14. And so not only did they have large numbers when they came out of Egypt, they spoiled it too, as if they conquered it, which they actually, well, the Lord is going to fight for them irregardless, but he's the one that, of course, spoiled it. By the people giving all the jewels and gold and whatnot to the Jews as they were leaving. And, of course, you know, when the Red Sea just killed them all, the Egyptians. So they were spoiled. So they did indeed come out with grave substance. But anyway, it goes on. It says, against the word, all the power of Pharaoh's proud empire battled in vain. On the selfsame day appointed in the divine promise, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt in Exodus 12:41. So, in heaven's council, the hour for the coming of Christ had been determined. When the great clock of time pointed to that hour, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The King of Glory stooped low to take humanity. rude and forbidding were his earthly surroundings. His glory was veiled, that the majesty of his outward form might not become an object of attraction. And and you can see why he does this. It's for the same reason the clouds covered his ascension into heaven, so that the apostles wouldn't be looking at the grandeur of heaven, and then their eyes would be fixed on that rather than just salvation, or Christ himself. They would have been more interested in the pearly gates and the golden streets and stuff like that. So amen and amen. Look at the wisdom and the love, because the Lord knows how mankind is easily swayed. And something like that, the devil would have ran with it. I mean, look at the way he gets some of the people out there, like Obama or the popes. These guys are literally handed stuff on a silver platter. And they're easily swayed with that. Could you imagine if they saw the pearly gates or saw the streets of gold 2,000 years ago? The lies that would have been built up from that point forward would have been amazing. She says, he shunned all outward display. Riches, worldly honor, and human greatness can never save a soul from death. Jesus proposed that no attraction of an earthly nature should call men to his side. Only the beauty of heavenly truth must draw those who would follow him. The character of the Messiah had long been foretold in prophecy, and he desired men to accept him upon the testimony of the Word of God. The angels had wondered at the glorious plan of redemption. They watched to see how the people of God would receive his son, clothed in the garb of humanity. Angels attend Joseph and Mary as they journey from their home in Nazareth to the city of David. The decree of imperial Rome for the enrollment of the peoples of her vast dominion has extended to the dwellers among the hills of Galilee. As in old time, Cyrus was called to the throne of the world's empire, that he might set free the captives of the Lord. So Caesar Augustus is made the agent for the fulfillment of God's purpose in bringing the mother of Jesus to Bethlehem. She is of the lineage of David, and the son of David must be born in David's city. Out of Bethlehem, said the prophet, shall he come forth. This is to be, ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from the days of eternity. That's, of course, prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But in the city of their royal line, Joseph and Mary are unrecognized and unhonored. Weary and homeless, they traverse the entire length of the narrow street from the gate of the city to the eastern extremity of the town, vainly seeking for a resting place for the night. There is no room for them at the crowded inn. In a rude building where the beasts are sheltered, they at last find refuge, and here the Redeemer of the world is born. Have you ever done any research in regards to, I did this years ago, and I don't know if I got it on the site anywhere, I may, but there's no room for them in the inn, and so they went, and some people think, and I used to make stables, or mangers, if you will, when I was a Catholic, and me and my dad, because my mom did these craft shows with all the porcelain, and Christmas time was the time of the year. Like, she would, it would be crazy the amount of money they would make in 2 days, just selling porcelain, and then I would make all these mangers out of tree twigs, shakes, or shims, if you will, they call them, the shakes for the roof, a plank, a pine shelf, and I would chop it to a certain length. Then I'd burn it with a blowtorch, like a acetylene, not acetylene, but a little propane torch, and then put hot glue around all the edges and then throw sawdust at it. It just looked great, but that couldn't possibly have been the way the shelter for the animals were, because I found, and I can't remember exactly where I found it. Like I said, it might be on the site somewhere. But the way they, in other words, because this, a lot of the times they would have the, especially if you had money, a lot of the families would have their cattle, if you will, and they wouldn't have large amounts. I mean, it would just be like for the dairy and whatnot, I guess. But under their home, I mean, they would live on the second floor, and then the bottom floor would be where the animals would be contained. And the animals themselves would generate some heat. I mean, how many of us have been in a, like, for example, the last time we went to a gathering in South Carolina, one of the days it was like 65, 70 out. And we noticed that the thermostats were locked in at 72. And it was fine until you got about five or six people in the room. Then it heated up real quick. And that's just five or six humans. We're nowhere near as big as these animals, you know. So, yeah, they generate heat. And so this is where Jesus was born. I don't know if she touches on this, but I'm wondering because the manger wasn't like, because even as a little kid, I used to think, how is Jesus keeping warm? And I asked my mom when I was a little kid and I saw the manger on the TV set with all the cotton around it, make it look like it was snow. And you know, he wasn't born in the U.S. where we got the snow. But anyway, and it's just little sticks like a fence for walls and a roof. That was about it. And I says, the wind's going to blow right through there. And I'm thinking, how is he going to keep warm? He's going to die, you know? It never made sense to me. And so later on, when I became an adult, I decided, yeah, I'm going to look into this. Anyway, she goes on. Above the hills of Bethlehem are gathered an innumerable throng of angels. They wait the signal to declare the glad news to the world. Had the leaders in Israel been true to their trust, they might have shared the joy of heralding the birth of Jesus. But now they are passed by. That's sad. They had an option. They would have been so blessed. But she goes on. She says, in the fields where the boy David had led his flock, shepherds were still keeping watch by night. Through the silent hours, they walked, or rather, they talked together of the promised Savior. So, yeah, these guys were into the word. So, yeah, so they were already discussing it. They probably knew, too. I wouldn't, yeah. If they were into the truth, they understood the times, right, to some extent. Anyway, through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the King to David's throne. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All these words, visions of glory, or rather, at these words, visions of glory fill the minds of the listening shepherds. The deliverer, capital D, has come to Israel. Power, exaltation, triumph are associated with his coming, but the angels, or rather the angel, must prepare them to recognize their Savior in poverty and humiliation. This shall be a sign unto you, he says. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The heavenly messenger had quieted their fears. He had told them how to find Jesus. With tender regard for their human weakness, he had given them time to become accustomed to divine radiance. Then, isn't that neat? With tender regard for human weakness. Because we all know what went down in Revelation 19:10, right? When John collapsed in the presence of the angel, and he told him, hey, you know, stand up, I'm a fellow servant like you. Worship God and God alone. So, yeah, we're weak. And this is why Satan has the power he has over guys like Obama and the rest. I have no doubt in my mind he manifests himself to them some way, somehow, to make them think that he's more powerful than Christ. Because before I became a Christian, I dabbled in manifestation, and I've seen things. And me, a little, you know, some schmuck down the road is going to see some of this stuff. And, I didn't see no glorified angel, but I dealt with what we thought was a poltergeist. And so we've seen some pretty strange stuff. So if I've seen these piddly things like this, I can imagine what leaders, political leaders, are going to be saying. I mean, I just got a video the other day, and I was thinking about making a video about this, but me and Fran were talking about it, and it's like, yeah, everybody already knows about this. But Bill Clinton admits on camera, no less, that his wife, Hillary, during his administration as president, talked on a regular basis with Eleanor Roosevelt. The woman's been dead for decades, but yet Hillary's talking to her. So, and that's probably because Hillary can't handle, you know, a real manifestation of Satan's power. She can only handle a glorification of self. Oh, wow. Eleanor actually chose to pick me, of all people, to speak to. You know what I mean. All right. So just stroke her pride a little bit, make her think that she's all that in a bag of chips, and she's going to get some inside information from heaven, no less. And so she thinks she's on some kind of a mission, and whatever. So if Hillary's getting inside information from demons acting like Eleanor, I can only imagine what the Pope or Obama or anybody else out there is getting. But we go on. She says, he had told them how to find Jesus. With tender regard for the human weaknesses, he had given them time to become accustomed to the divine radiance. Then the joy and glory could no longer be hidden. The whole plain was lighted up with the bright shining of the hosts of God. Earth was hushed and heaven stooped to listen to the song. And it was glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So, amen. Where are we at here, Paige? Well, we ended here. And page 6, paragraph 5. So, if you can kneel, please do so. All right. By your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us once again with your presence. Thank you for giving us this new book, this compilation to read on Wednesday nights. And please bless us as we go in it. And then when we're done with whatever we're, you know, the Jacob's Trouble thing that we're doing on Friday, please give us something in that same realm of information so that we can be ready for what's already begun. Please bless our hearts. Please bless everyone here. Please bless everyone on the prayer list, even those that come against us. And thank you so much for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness so that we can be worthy of that latter rain that's headed our way. And we offer this prayer to you once again, to the best of our ability, which always falls far short of this, of the name we pray in, and that name is your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.